I have a couple of people help me with the communion. Paul said, you know, in the Bible, really, in the New Testament, there's only one reason that people are sickly and direly among you is because they do not discern the body of Christ. The way to discern the body of Christ is to take this bread, the bread that is made the way God said to make the bread. You can't discern the body of Christ with a little rice wafer, plastic tasting things that stick to your teeth. But this you can, however, and you can see what Jesus did in this. This bread is without sin. That means is there no yeast in this bread. Jesus' body is perfectly sinless. And this bread has been beaten flat. The Bible tells us that he was beaten and bruised for us. And you can notice in there that there's stripes in this bread, and it's by his stripes that we were healed. That whipping that he took was terrible. And then also this bread has been pierced. Jesus was pierced. When he was on the cross, a Roman soldier thrust a spear into his side. And this bread is also slightly burned. It's very important. When Jesus was on the cross, the full wrath of God's fiery judgment that was meant for us was laid on Jesus. Now we can go into the Father's presence and receive of his goodness and partake of Jesus' broken body for our healing. We thank you for this, Father. Jesus shed his blood all over the place. If you ever get a chance, if you're ever in a Catholic church, if they have the Stations of the Cross on the wall, go look at that. It's really cool. These are things, everywhere that Jesus shed his blood was on purpose, and we get redemption for that. Amen? Also, his blood completely washed away our sins. He remitted them, took them away, and made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That means he puts you in right standing with God. When he washed away your sins, he puts you in right standing with God. Now you can go boldly into God's presence as though nothing ever happened and receive of his mercy and grace. We thank you for this. Well, if you would, open up your Bibles to Psalms 107. Oh, you're holding your breath. Okay, you can go. They're holding their breath too. He's not going to make us stay in here, surely. One of the things that happened when Jesus said, "It is finished," is bodily healing for all. For all. And here's a religious myth that people fall into a lot of times They think a person has to be born again before they can be healed. That's nonsense. I remember one time I went to pray for this girl. Her sister or cousin, whatever she was, met me at church and said, "You need to come pray for this lady because her kidneys are shutting down and she's going to die. The doctor said she doesn't have, she's out of time." And I said, "Okay." So I went there and I started talking to her and I prayed for her. And I started praying for her and I could see her, whatever this lady was, her sister or cousin, whatever it was, she was biting nails. I mean, you could tell her, you could tell she was completely irritated with me that I was praying for this lady. And I knew what was going on because she'd already told me she's not born again. She was upset that I was actually praying for her and she wasn't born again. That's foolishness. You know, God, He's not that way. Jesus healed a lot of scoundrels. Did you know that? In fact, on Jesus' ministry on earth, pretty much everybody He healed was a scoundrel. Because nobody was born again until He got through with His work on the cross, went through His death, His burial, and His resurrection, and went and made the way to God. Nobody could get born again until then. Amen? So, get rid of that little religious idea that people have to go through some ritual or have to get born again in order to be healed. I'm going to clue you in on a special thing. It's not so much of a secret, but God wants you to know it. The goodness of God leads men to repentance. That lady, when she seen I was willing to pray for her and minister to her and talk to her, after we got done with that, she got born again. The goodness of God leads men to repentance. When they see God do something, they say, "Hey, God is real." Amen. Amen. And He's not mad at me because He healed me. Praise God. Open up your Bibles to Psalm chapter 107, verse 20. And I want to really bring something home to you that a lot of people don't realize. But it's important to know. Psalms 107, verse 20 said, "He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions." He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. It's His word that heals people. You know, we use the name of Jesus. We pray. We use the name of Jesus. I want you to understand, it's His word. There's a lot of times people can be in church and get a revelation of His word and just get up and say, "Hey, I got it. I'm healed." They don't have to be prayed for. Did you know that? You don't have to go to some hot rod healing evangelist. You can read the Bible and receive it. But God will meet you where you're at. There's a lot of different ways to get healing in your body. Just know this, it's always going to be through Jesus. Why can I say that? He sent His word and it healed him. Turn to John chapter 1. Did you know there's nothing that happens without Jesus? Jesus is everything. John chapter 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So there it proves that Jesus existed before time. He was with God. And that proves the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was manifest. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. I always thought for the longest time the darkness just couldn't understand the light. That's not what it is. The darkness could not overtake the light. You know, there are people running around saying the dark's just getting darker and darker and darker, and pretty soon they're just going to have control of everything. Not as long as the church is here. The darkness cannot overcome the light. Amen? It cannot overcome the light. I'll tell you something else about the Word. If you preach the Word, if you just use the Word, it'll stand up to all kinds of different doctrines and doctrinal beliefs. Just in case you're curious why I know this, my first pastor, I was an interim pastor in a Southern Baptist church. It's kind of a difficult position to be put for somebody who believes in the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues to be put into. But I preached the baptism of the Holy Spirit in that Southern Baptist church. But we agreed that the Bible was true and the Word was right, and that there was nothing above the Word of God. And that if the Word said it, that's the way it is. So I read the Bible to them. And I said, now we already agreed that the Bible was true, did we not? Yeah. Not even their area head of missions and their regional head of pastors could stand up to that. When you just read the Bible. Read the Bible to your problem. Amen? What are you doing? You're speaking the Word to it. You know, you should have at least one verse for your problem. You know, Jesus said, it is written. What was He doing? He was talking to the devil with the Word. He was using the Word on him. That's what we do. We use the Word on our problems. I mean, you're going to have to find out what's in there. Find out the promise for your problem. Just know this, that if there's a problem, it's because there's already an answer. You got to get this. If there's a problem, it's because there's already an answer. So you find the promise to your problem in the Bible. And then use that Word on your problem. How can I say that? Because the devil has never, ever been able to create anything. All he's ever been able to do was twist. So he took the blessing from Adam and he twisted it and turned it into the curse. He took faith and turned it into fear. He took love and turned it into hate. He took health and turned it into sickness. He took the blessing and turned it into a curse. Can you see that now? He twisted it. Twisted it. So when there's a problem, there's already an answer. And that answer was already met at that cross. Praise God. And said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Down in verse 14, it says, and the Word was made flesh. Notice this. The Word was made flesh. That means He made a man. That's when Jesus was begotten of God. Right there. He's the only begotten of God. Now, we're sons, but we're sons through adoption. Jesus is the only begotten of God, but He became a man on this earth. It's important. See, there's people running around saying Jesus did this because he was God. Jesus is God. He's 100% God. On this earth, he was made a man, a righteous man that received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it was through that power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus did those mighty works. Amen? There's a whole bunch of people that are missing out on a lot of fun stuff because they deny the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Shouldn't be that way. Now, the Word was made God, or the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. You know, when Peter jumped out of the boat, he started walking on water. And he was walking on, he was doing pretty good. He was looking at Jesus. He was walking on water, man. He was going. And then he got his eyes off of Jesus and started looking at the wind and the waves and started sinking. I got a question for you. What does wind and waves have to do with walking on water? Oh. But what happened was it distracted him and it got his eyes off of Jesus. See, our wind and waves could be sickness, it could be bills, it could be kids running amok, it could be work, it could be any number of things that get us distracted, get our eyes off of Jesus, get our eyes off of the Word. Remember, we already discerned that if we're looking at the Word, we're looking at Jesus. If you're looking at Jesus, you're looking at the Word. You want to know what Jesus looks like? Open up your Bible. Perfect picture of Him. That's the Word. That's Jesus. So what are we going to have to do? We're going to have to get our spiritual blinders on. So when we get these challenges, these problems, we go to the Bible, we find the promise to that challenge, and then we start meditating on that. Remember, God said to meditate on His Word day and night. Not so we can memorize it and go win some special contest at a church social, but to get that Word in our hearts, make it a part of us, get it in there so we know it, so we have a, it is written for our challenge. And then don't look at anything else. Just look at the answer and cruise on through your problem. But it's so hard. You know how much money I owe. You don't know how bad my leg hurts. You don't know how rotten my kid is. Jesus didn't say it was always going to be easy. He said you could do it. He said you could do all things through Christ that strengthens you. So we're just going to have to stop looking at the problem and look at the answer. Amen? Here's another thing. You're going to have to stop talking about the problem and start talking to the problem. Jesus said you could have whatever it is you say. The challenge is that most people keep saying what they have. They keep running around talking about how sick they are. They run around talking about how broke they are. They run around talking about how tired they are. Amen? Instead of talking to that sickness, talking to that weakness, talking to that poverty, they keep talking about it. And what happens, they just keep getting more of it. What you need is a couple "it is written"s that you can carry in your pocket and say, talk to that problem. Amen? You'll get those from the Bible. You'll find those promises in the Bible. And then you'll start meditating on them. You'll start knowing them. And then pretty soon what happens is you'll get a revelation of that word. You might call it a rhema word. All of a sudden it'll be something that you just know inside of you. You won't have to think it through anymore. You'll just know. You won't have to figure it out anymore. You'll just know that you got it, that it's yours. Look at Matthew chapter 8, verse 17. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. So you get attacked with the Mongolian warts, Mongolian toe warts. The doctor says you got 3 days, get your affairs in order. What are you going to do? Run down to the coffee shop and talk about your toe warts? Or are you going to go to the Word of God where it says He took our infirmities and He bore our sicknesses? He already took our sicknesses on Him. You know, that was one of the things. Every single disease and every single disease that wasn't even named yet, all of them. Did you know nobody had ever heard of AIDS when Jesus was on this earth, when He got to this cross? Nobody had ever heard of the swine flu or the bird flu, West Nile, none of this. But in the curse of the law, it says that if you broke the law, that all these sicknesses that were on Egypt would fall on you, and even sicknesses that haven't even been named yet. But Jesus took the curse upon Himself when He was on that cross, because it said, cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree. So that means that every sickness that they knew at that time, and every sickness that wasn't even named yet, was laid on Jesus at that time. All of them. He took them all. And it doesn't matter how long the name is, He took it. He bore our sicknesses. He took it. Amen? So quit carrying it. How do we carry it? By talking about it. So my Mongolian toe warts. What did you do? You just claimed it as your own. I got to watch my diet because my cancer might come back. You just claimed it as your own. Amen? It's not yours. Don't own that. That's the devil's. Amen? You just fight that off with the word. Now, you may have been attacked with some disease. But don't claim ownership of it. You fight that attack off. One of the ways we do is with the communion. We do that. We do it with the words of our mouth. Amen? Since we're in that chapter, go to chapter 13, verse 5. 13, verse 15. Hopefully I'm right. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. This is one of the important reasons to pay attention to what you're hearing. Pay attention to what you're listening to. In this day and time, we have access to a multitude of different preachers. There's preachers broadcasting stuff all over the country. You can listen to somebody 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There's broadcasts all over the country. There's people on YouTube. There's people on the internet. There's people on Facebook. There's people everywhere. Don't just open your eyes and ears to everybody. You know, people, and sometimes word of faith people are some of the worst about this. Just take in any information that you can get your hands on. Read anything. It's in the Christian book section of Barnes and Noble. It's got to be good. You know, there's people that ain't even born again that are writing books in the Christian book section. Stop that. You don't just take in any old thing that passes by. This is what happens to a lot of people. They buy something, they buy into something, they'll hear something, they'll hear a false doctrine, they'll hear that healing isn't for today. It was good when the apostles were here so they could get the gospel started, but it went away. And you're not going to get a healing until you go to heaven. People that will say, you're bearing your cross, you're suffering for Jesus when you get sick. That's nonsense. People say it is God's will. Maybe it was God's will for you to be sick. People actually believe that. That's nonsense. If it's God's will for you to be sick, why are you going to the doctor? I thought you wanted to be in God's will. Which way is it? You're being rather double-minded. Know this for a fact. Jesus paid for your healing. Amen? Go to Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4. This is taking communion, and you just want to really discern the Lord's body. This is a really good way right here. Isaiah 53, verse 4 says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. It is written for you right there. You see, the cool thing about God is you can open up the Bible and treat life just like an open book test. If you don't have it memorized, put a marker at that page so you can open to it fast and go there and find that page. So when the devil is giving you grief about something, you can open that page and say, no, this is what the Word says. He hates that. Jesus used it on him. You use it on him. All you got to do is open up the Bible and say, it is written, with his stripes, I was healed. Amen. That's a good way to resist the devil. Submit yourself to God. And watch that devil run away from you. Amen? Go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. says, who his own self bore sins in his own body. If you're having trouble wondering if you've been forgiven, if there's some kind of sin that maybe Jesus couldn't take care of right here, he bore it on his own body, on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. He wants you to have a righteousness conscience, not a sin consciousness. A lot of people get taught, says, you go ask God to forgive you. Every time you sin, you go ask God to forgive you. How many of you went to that special box with somebody on the other side of that shield that you couldn't see and they expected you to tell him every sin you ever committed? Those days are over. You've been set free. Amen? Praise God for that. Jesus took care of it. And it's because of his blood that you've been forgiven, not your confession. Because of his shed blood that you have been forgiven. And then it goes on. We'll finish it right here with the home run. By whose stripes you were healed. That is another, it is written for you. He took care of the condemnation part, the no condemnation. You know, a lot of times people are under condemnation for mistakes they've made. It's not from God. Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. You're born again, you're in Christ Jesus. God is not condemning you. That's the devil. He's bringing those past mistakes up to you, reminding you of those. Don't take them back. Amen? God washed those away. You're free. Let's go to John chapter 10, verse 10. You need to underline this. You need to circle this. Take your favorite crayon. Circle this thing. Underline it. Highlight it. Put a bookmarker on there. What happens a lot of times is people get confused. And they get to thinking that I did something wrong, so God let me get sick. I did this, so God gave me this sickness. I actually heard a preacher tell me one time. He said, God gave me a stroke, so I've become a preacher. And I thought, man, I really hope you don't talk to the same people I got to talk to today. What's going on? They're confused. They're confused. See, this is how you make schizophrenic Christians. Telling them God blesses you one day and God curses you the next day. They're wrong. They're not rightfully dividing the word of truth. God does not curse you. This verse right here came out of Jesus' own mouth. He said this. John 10:10. Jesus said, the thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. So if it's stealing, killing, and destroying, it's the devil. If it's a problem, it's the devil. Amen? Now, sometimes people are their own worst enemies. And some of them really don't need the devil's help causing problems in their own lives. It wouldn't hurt to help yourself by just letting God help you. Amen? You know, Don't cause yourself more destruction than what you can deal with. Amen? Now Jesus went on to finish that. He said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. He's the good guy. He didn't come to hurt anybody. He didn't come to curse anybody. He didn't come to condemn anybody. He didn't come to make anybody sick. Jesus came to heal you. Amen? You need to locate yourself once in a while. This is a good way to locate yourself. If you're ever confused, sometimes people get to thinking, well, maybe God is doing something to teach me a lesson. Get your little fingers out. Said, is it killing? That's the devil. Is it stealing? That's the devil. Is it destroying? That's the devil. You know, God did not curse your crops to make them fail. That's the devil. He did not send great big blizzards to teach you a lesson. That's not him. Amen? He didn't send droughts and fires and hurricanes and tornadoes. It irritates me when people say that is the judgment of God. I know. And you hear it all the time. When Katrina hit, they said that's the judgment of God on New Orleans. So that's an evil place. Really? Really? If God does that to them, He's got to do it to us. Honestly, I know that there's some areas that are completely out of control, but I can't think of really much of anything that's happening in San Francisco that isn't happening in West Texas. If you're honest about it. And if you don't believe me, just take a little short 15-mile trip. And if that doesn't, just think at home. Go there at night. Tell me what you think. Amen? If God judged New Orleans for that, then guess what? He didn't lay the sins of the whole world on Jesus. So somebody's lying. Either God or some prophet that said that's the judgment of God on New Orleans. I understand God's side, and I'm going to believe that He laid the sins of the whole world on Jesus. Period. Now, Jesus did say that there were going to be some things happening. There was going to be wars, rumors of wars, tornadoes. We're seeing hurricanes, earthquakes, fires. We're seeing all kinds of things happening. This thing is coming to an end. Our lease on this earth is up. Amen. That's not the end of the world, though. Amen. Go to James chapter 5. We'll finish up with this. James chapter 5, verse 14. James chapter 5. Verse 14 says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Now that sometimes bugs a lot of Word of Faith preachers. They think that these Christians don't need anybody going out there anointing them with oil. But the Bible right there, James specifically said, for the elders of the church, said, for the sick people to call on the elders of the church and have them come, anoint them with oil, pray the prayer of faith, forgive them of their sins. Amen? It's okay to follow the direction. Not every single Christian is going to be able to pick everything up and say the prayer of faith and walk out of here completely whole. You know, some of them are new Christians. Some of them haven't had a chance to get enough word in them, get a revelation of the word. You know, but honestly, new Christians seem to be a little easier to deal with than Christians that have been sitting in church for 30, 40 years. Especially some of those that have had access to the Bible Belt. The Bible Belt had some good things about it. But some of the hardest-headed people I've had to deal with have been Bible Belt Christians. I don't know if it's just they get used to fighting back and forth with each other. I'm this denomination. We believe this, and we are right. Yeah. Well, I'm of this denomination, and we are right. And then their eyes just cloud over, and their ears close shut, and they are in desperate need of help from God, and they're so indoctrinated with false doctrine that they just have a hard time getting there. I'm not saying that they can't or won't. It's just sometimes it's harder to deal with them than it is a baby Christian. Sometimes baby Christians, they just will believe anything they hear. You know, get a little oil on your hand and say, you're healed. Okay. They get up and go. Well, thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you that each time we look into your word and we take that seed, your word, the seed, and plant it in our hearts, it grows in there and it produces in your kingdom some hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold return on your word. We thank you, Father, that we can grow a lot or we can grow gradually. We can grow little bitty steps at a time. And that you're okay with that. And that you still love us, whether we grow a lot or grow a little. You're going to always love us. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have coffee and cookies and snacks back here. Everybody's welcome to come back and fellowship.